Welcome to American Gypsy Podcast. I am your host, Gypsy. And today we have a returning guest, Xiaoshen Zhu. I hope I pronounced that right.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah.
Oh, good to have you here again. I
Thank
think
you
the
very
last
much.
time we talked to you, you were in Japan, I think.
Yep, that's correct. Yeah. And last time we spoke a little bit about my PhD research, which was on Chinese immigrants in Russia. Yeah. So today we're talking about a completely different topic.
So tell the guests a little bit about, you know, about yourself and what you're doing.
Yeah. So last time when I introduced myself, I was just graduating from my PhD program. I was studying at the University of Tokyo. I did my PhD in sociology, which is why I was studying Chinese immigrants in Russia as my dissertation research. So I finished that, right? And since then, I've been working. I was working at the time in a sort of like a business risk consultancy, but about a year and a half ago, I changed to a new job. I'm currently working as a college admissions consultant, basically helping high school students around the world get into American universities, or providing them tips on how to do their applications well for American universities. So my clients are basically high school students from all over the world. And that gives me the flexibility to basically work from anywhere in the world. So I'm working completely remotely at the moment in Malta. Yeah.
So you chose to go to Malta. It wasn't for a specific role or anything.
Yeah, so it's completely unrelated to the job. I mean, Malta is a small country, so I don't have any clients from Malta. Yeah, but the reason I chose to come to Malta is because my wife's Japanese, and we wanted a place where she can immerse herself in an English-speaking environment. Malta happens to offer that environment, and also the digital nomad visa, which allows us to sort of reside here for up to 3 years. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's why we chose Malta.
That's pretty good. 3 years without renewing?
Well, you have to renew it every year, but I mean, if your circumstances doesn't change all that much, they wouldn't reject you.
Okay. What's it like living in Malta?
Well, it's very nice, actually. It's February right now, and it's 15 degrees and sunny outside, and we live right by the ocean, actually. So we live in a three-story house. It's like a two-bedroom house, but it's three stories. And the third floor is a balcony where we can just see the ocean from the third floor. So it's a very nice place. Yeah.
And for those who don't know where Malta is, it's in the middle of the Mediterranean. It's a really tiny island.
Yeah. It's only 500,000 people. It's a tiny little island right south of Sicily. Right, in Italy, right? But it used to be a British colony. That's why everybody speaks English here. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that. How is the cost of living when you're doing digital nomad? Because I know that's not really a popular spot for digital nomads. I think I usually think of Thailand or Philippines. What is the cost of living like there?
Yeah, so I mean, it's probably more expensive compared to Thailand or Philippines, but of course, we're looking for an English speaking place, so that doesn't give us a lot of choices. But in terms of the cost of living in general, I mean, it should be a lot cheaper than the US. For instance, I was talking about this three story house that we're renting by the sea. It costs us about 750 euros, which is what, like 800, less than $800 a month. Right. Utilities probably sets us back another maybe like $40 a month or so. Yeah. Public transport is free here, actually. So you can ride buses. Yeah, there's only buses, but like the buses just go everywhere and you ride that for free. And groceries are probably around the same cost as the US. So yeah.
Was it a culture shock moving there from Japan?
From Japan, it's very different, but from say, you know, the US or another European country, it's not so different. One of the reasons is that there are a lot of foreign expats here. It's a very popular destination for migrant workers and white collar workers as well, because the tourist industry is really, really strong. Like, there's a lot of tourism going on, and because of that, the economy is growing pretty fast in a couple of years. The data shows it's growing like 10% a year right now. So yeah, the economy is doing very good. So there are a lot of people from the Philippines, from India, all over Europe, and some people from North Africa, from the Middle East, coming here as well. So it's a very, very diverse place. So, if you compare this place to, say, New York or any big city in the US, the demographic, it's pretty similar. Yeah. So I feel quite at home, seeing that diversity.
Okay. How did you get into digital nomad? Like, what resource do you use to find something like that?
Yeah, so I was lucky in that this particular job of mine, this college admissions consultant job, was fully remote from the beginning, right? So I never had to go to any office at any point. So given that's the reality, I decided, might as well try this digital nomad thing I've been hearing about, and I'm pretty sure a lot of listeners are hearing about as well. So I just did a Google search on all these countries that are doing digital nomading, and my research showed that there are more than 50 countries doing it. So among those 50 countries, of course, I narrowed down to ones that are English speaking, in terms of the majority population speaking English, and also just to check whether you can bring a spouse, right? So it's not just you, but you can come with another person, and most importantly, to check the income requirement, because that's usually the big thing that prevents people from going to a particular country. So for
Is
Malta,
that for a visa or what's the requirement or?
so that's for the digital nomad visa. Yeah,
Oh.
they have to know that you have a specific amount of income coming in every month to be able to sustain yourself in the country, right? Because as a digital nomad, obviously I'm not working in Malta for Malta, right? I'm just working in another job from another country and just living here. So they need to know that I have the income to do so. Yeah, so for every country on that 50 some country list, the income requirement is quite different. And Malta happens to be one of the lower ones, I believe, at least among English-speaking countries. It's about 2,700 euros a month, for that requirement, right? So you have to make 2,700 or above in order to be qualified to apply for a visa.
Where in Malta are you, and what cities would you recommend
Yeah,
there?
so I'm in a town called St. Paul's Bay, which is in the northern part of Malta. It's more of a residential area. It's less touristy, but it's one of the bigger towns in the country. There are some very, very popular places in Malta for foreign tourists to go. I mean, it's one of the main industry here. That's why they get a lot of foreign tourists. I mean, probably the most famous place is the capital, Valletta. Which is the whole city is a UNESCO heritage site, right? It's just like a beautiful medieval fortress city, right? The whole city has like stone buildings from preserved from a few centuries ago, and they really spruce up the place so that everything is pretty clean and nicely well maintained. So that city gets a lot of tourists. Yeah. Besides that, there are other historical places that people tend to visit. One of the other popular historical places called Medina, which is the former capital city of Malta. It's like a fortress on the top of a mountain, right? The fortress has been unchanged since like the 13th century. So a lot of people visit that as well. But besides history, people tend to visit a lot of like it's a small island with a lot of like nice ocean views. Right, so people come here for the beach, right? They go visit like fishing ports, right? Just anything by the ocean that people really enjoy. Yeah, so there's a lot of nice hotels, like holiday homes for people who come during the summer for a few months as well, just to enjoy that ocean view and the nice weather.
Okay. Have you gotten a chance to go to Gozo?
Yes, I have. I mean, I live St. Paul's Bay is actually pretty close to the ferry, which runs from the northern part of Malta Island to Gozo, right? So that ferry is only like 15 minutes. A lot of Maltese they go to Gozo for their weekend trip as well, just stay there because it's slightly less developed than Malta Island, which is quite urbanized. Right, so a lot of people go over there, enjoy nature a little bit more, and then stay there for the weekend and come back.
Okay, what's the culture like there? Like, I don't know anything about Malta in terms of the makeup of the people and like the culture there.
So it's a primarily Catholic country, right? So in terms of the way people behave, I would say it's like a cross between Italians and British, right? Like, because it has been under British colonization for so long, right? There's a lot of sort of British habits that are quite obvious. Like, for example, there are a lot of British style pubs everywhere. Like, people love drinking beer and watching soccer, right? All of that is quite British. But traditionally, it has very close tie to Sicily, obviously, geographically, so close. So people have similar religions and, and sort of the religious festivals are quite similar as well. So that's kind of the Maltese population. But, like I said, this Malta is quite diverse now. So I would say about a quarter of the population is not Maltese, right? So there's a lot of different cultures. So I think Malta's culture is changing quite a bit as well because of all these foreigners moving in.
Okay. What's the food like over there? What's some of the most popular traditional food over there that you like particularly?
I mean, I wouldn't say people eat a lot of traditional food here anymore. Like, traditional Maltese food is not very commonly seen. There are a few things that are sold commonly in restaurants. One is like this beef kind of ravioli kind of thing, which Maltese traditionally eat. Another thing is a stew of rabbits, right? Which rabbit stew. So that's like a traditional food. There are some pastries like sort of like deep fried or baked bread, which usually has like chickpeas or like cheese inside. So that's kind of traditional Maltese food as well. But in terms of the day-to-day meals that people have, it tends to be pretty similar to what people would have in, like, I would say anywhere else in Europe. Like, people have sandwich for some, for lunch, like a croissant or some kind of pastry for breakfast, right? For a more sort of fast food options, they have burgers, hot dogs, like Turkish food. That's like pretty similar to other European countries as well. So, I wouldn't say there's a lot of tradition going on in terms of the food.
I don't know if you mentioned how long you've been there. Would you recommend Malta for digital nomads? I don't know if you've tried other countries besides Japan and China.
It's my third month here, so I'm still fairly new here. But I've lived in multiple countries in the past, right? Besides, I lived in China, Japan, US, of course. I lived in Australia, UK. I lived in Southeast Asia for a while in Malaysia and Philippines. I also lived in East Africa, in Tanzania. So, quite a few places. But as far as Malta goes, compared to these countries, I mean, there are a few good things about it. One is it's very safe, right? People are generally really, really relaxed, right? So there's not a lot of hustling and aggressive people anywhere, right?
Island life.
So it's like people are really relaxed. So people don't really bother each other with that. So that's a great thing. The second thing that's great about here is the infrastructure is really developed for a little island of 500,000 people. Like there are highways going everywhere, buses run on time, public services like garbage collection and street cleaning is all done quite nicely, right? So it's fairly nicely done there. Yeah. And as far as the cost of living is concerned, compared to parts of Eastern Europe, it's going to be more expensive. But if you compare it to like the more well-trafficked part of Europe, like France or Britain or Germany, it's definitely on the cheaper side. So
What about
yeah, I think you
compared
get
to like Southeast Asia or like Thailand?
I'm yeah, it's probably more expensive than Southeast Asia. Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. But I mean, not significantly so, I would say. I was living in Malaysia and Philippines, and one of the things that's problematic about over there is that there are a class of like residences, accommodations for expats, right? Like
Okay.
expats don't get introduced type to the really local kind of apartments where they don't
Really?
really accept foreigners being residents there. So that gives you a very narrow sort of range of potential accommodations that you can choose from. And those places tend to be more expensive, Not only by local standards, but just in general, right? I think my apartment in Malaysia was actually more expensive than the one I'm paying for right now in Malta. Yeah. Yeah. But food-wise, I think Southeast Asia is definitely cheaper.
Yeah, and it kind of seems segregated if you're separating the expats into specific areas. That's kind of weird.
Right, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the thing about Southeast Asia. I think like I said, Malta has a lot of foreigners, right? It makes up a quarter of the population. So people are fairly used to the idea, just foreigners being everywhere. They're all, I wouldn't say they're well integrated, but they're definitely part of daily life, right? Like you go to all the shops, it's the foreigners working there, all the companies, foreigners working there. So it's fairly common, but in Southeast Asia, there are definitely expats there as well, but they're only in certain parts of the country or certain sectors of the economy. So it's not everywhere that you see foreigners. So I think that's a big difference. Yeah.
So when I was looking it up, there was quite a few videos of people saying like why I'm leaving Malta or like
Right.
why I don't want, why I don't like it anymore. Is there anything you find like difficult or some things you don't like about living there or makes it difficult
Yeah.
to do your work?
Yeah. I mean, I was talking to a few Maltese people, right? Including my neighbor, next door neighbor. I was talking to him, and he has been living here for a long time, obviously. And he was basically saying that, Malta of even say 10 years ago was quite different from the current situation, right? He mentioned that, I think right before the pandemic, there is a new government that came in power and they really opened up immigration, right? They really just started bringing in like a lot of foreigners to work here, which has been great for the economy. The economy grew a lot faster because the population grew and there are a lot more people bringing new business and working for these businesses. So the economy is doing good, but the character of the country changed. Especially in terms of the cost of living on the rental side, everything has gotten more expensive, right? The roads have become more crowded, right? During the summer, there are so many more tourists everywhere, plus all the foreign expats living here, so everything feels crowded, right? So it's not nearly as relaxing anymore. That's what they say, right? But from me, someone who has been here only 3 months, it feels quite relaxing. So I mean, I won't be able to compare Malta now with Malta of 10 years ago, but from my perspective, Malta now is still quite good. Yeah. So I guess it really just depends on what you're comparing Malta against.
Okay, gotcha. What is the industry there besides tourism? Is there any other
Yeah.
industry that's prevalent?
Yeah, the other thing that is quite famous is online gambling. Yeah,
That's
so
interesting. Random.
yeah, so Malta is one of those places that have low taxation. So there are a lot of these online companies that doesn't require like a physical presence anywhere, registering themselves in Malta just to save on taxes. I mean, there are other places in the world that are tax haven like that. You know, Ireland, for instance, is another example, right? But so a lot of companies register in Malta for that reason. And yeah, one of the for some reason, right, online gambling has, even among all these different online industries, being like a forte for Malta. So
Yeah, that's pretty random.
it's very random. But yeah, there are a lot of online gambling company here.
That's cool.
But I guess aside from that, I mean, I didn't say there's much going on here. So everything else is just related to tourism, the service industry, a lot of hospitality related jobs, right? Transportation, of course, bringing people in and out of the island, right? So that's pretty big as well. I would love to know about what people think of Malta, because I guess it's interesting because you mentioned that you heard about Malta when you were really young. I don't know what the people's image of this place would be, say the US. I'm guessing most people don't know, but maybe some people will think of something when they,
I don't know too many people that know Malta. I just know, like, when I was in high school, I used to have like this long, I used to love making a list of countries that I want to visit. And somehow, like, I don't know how Malta popped up. I think my sister or something mentioned it, and I looked it up. And it was mostly to go to like Gozo and visit the was it
Blue
Grotto
Lagoon.
or Blue Lagoon? And I don't know, that just I was like, I definitely want to go there. And it was close to other European countries, and I've done some backpacking trips, so I was like, oh, that sounds like an interesting place. And I was also at the time looking for to study abroad. I lived in Minnesota for high school, and I was like, as soon as I graduate, I'm getting out of here as fast as I can. So when it came time to look for colleges, I was looking like everywhere. And when I mean everywhere, like
Everyone in the
Cypress and
world.
all of these random places that will have like American colleges. And yeah, I don't know if Malta has any, but that was just close
There's
to.
actually the American University of Malta.
Oh, really? Okay.
They have a really nice campus too.
Nice.
But even I mean, aside from that one, because English is w one of the two official languages in
I didn't know
Malta.
that either.
It's Maltese and English are both official languages. So all official documents here are in two languages, which is great
Okay.
for English speakers. So if you enroll in any university or any school for that matter, you're gonna be learning English. So
Okay,
it's
is
pretty good.
the school you work for also teach in English as well, or?
So, well, I don't work for a school. I work for like a private consultancy.
Oh, I don't know why I thought you said college admissions. I must have missed that.
So it is college admissions. So my job is to provide sort of advice to high school students on how they can apply to universities better, right? To help them,
Okay.
brush up on their essays and fill in their extracurricular activities, because I'm sure you're familiar with how American universities' applications tend to be quite comprehensive, right? It's not just like your grades or anything, right? They expect to see like a pretty well-rounded profile. You have your own ways of thinking, you have done all these things outside of school and all of that. So a lot of people who are not from the US, they don't know this, right? Like for example, in anywhere in Asia, going to university is just taking an entrance exam, and if you score well, you get in. If you don't score well, you don't, right? It's simple as that, right? So
How do
a
you
lot of
weed
people
people out in that case?
It's just, well, in that case, it's just about scoring, right?
Mm.
If you score well on that test, then you go to a good university. If you score less well, you go to a less good university, right? So it's as simple as that. Yeah. So in the American case, because there are all these things aside from your grades, a lot of people in those countries, they need extra preparations because their school is not geared toward providing them this sort of advice or providing them this sort of activity or opportunities, right? So they need like private consultants to help them find the kinds of extracurricular activities that would look good on their applications when they apply to American universities. Yeah, because yeah, simply, they can't find them by themselves, or they don't know what kind of things they should be doing by themselves. Yeah. Yeah.
Is there
So
so in Japan when you're going to college, besides taking the exam or whatever, is there like something different? Like I know in UK, for instance, there's I think they handle it differently. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah. I
So
mean,
what is the difference in how Japan handles college process versus America?
yeah, so Japan is pretty typical of that Asian country thing where you just take an entrance exam. If you score well, you get in. If you don't, then you don't, right? So it's fairly straightforward. That's why people spend all of their high school preparing for that exam, basically, that big ex entrance exam, right? So for 3, 4 years, they're just going to be cramming information on all these different subjects, exams that they need to take, right? In order for them to score well and get into top universities.
Is a
It
lot
really
of
is.
it based on, like, I know when I went to school in Ethiopia and I
Right.
moved here, I saw the difference in how, like, in Ethiopia, like, there's a lot of memorization. Like, it's a lot of memorizing and regurgitating. And in America, it's a little bit different. A little bit more emphasis on critical thinking and stuff like that. Would you say there's some difference in?
Definitely. I mean, the difference is especially obvious when it comes to studying a foreign language. So Japan is not particularly well known for people speaking English well, unfortunately. And that's not because people don't learn it in school. In fact, people in Japan, they learn English starting from elementary school. So they study English for many, many years, right? But they still can't speak it. And one of the reasons why, or at least people who analyze it say why, is because they emphasize so much on memorization of different grammar rules, of different vocabulary, right? Just so people can understand the structure of English, but not to actually practice using it in any particular way, right? So they learn English as a set of facts rather than something living, which cause people to be not able to speak English, even though they learn for more than a decade by the time they get to university. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of similar in America where it's like you're required to take a language, and most people like take Spanish or something, but you can, even though you take it for years, you don't really learn to speak it really, or you're not fluent, even though you've been learning it for so many years. I feel like with language, it's like you have to be immersed in it, or it's really hard to learn.
I mean, I really feel like, the US definitely has an advantage there because there are just simply so many people who speak so many different languages living in the US, right? Like, I'm from San Diego, and there are a lot of Hispanics, right? From not just from Mexico, but from Central America, right? Living in San Diego. So getting exposed to Spanish is not all that difficult, right? As long as you go to the right places, meet the right people, you'll be able to practice it if you learn Spanish. But, living in Japan, it's just so difficult to find English speakers. amongst you, right? So unless you want to pay good money to go to an English language school just to have conversation classes, and of course most high school students won't be able to afford that. So yeah, it's quite difficult for people to actually practice.
How long has it been since you lived in the US?
Wow, it's been a while. I mean, I graduated undergrad in the US, but since then I have been living abroad, just working in different countries. I mean, I occasionally go back and visit, but the funny thing is I have never actually worked in the US. I mean, I'm a US citizen. I can go back anytime, but I just found so many, interesting other places I can potentially go to. So I have just been doing that since 21.
Do you
Yeah,
feel like
so.
it's easier to live in a, live abroad versus living in the US? Or
I feel like there are several advantages, right? One is the cost of living is lower in a lot of places. So I definitely don't make as much as I probably would if I were to do the same job in the US. But when I look at it from like a cost of living perspective, I'm probably saving more money now than if I were to do the same job in the US. Yeah. So that's one thing. Yeah. Sorry,
But
go ahead.
enjoying life and all of that, like, there is a difference. Like, I feel like US has a it's a very individualistic
True.
hustle and bustle type of place. And
Yeah.
sometimes, I don't know, the culture and lifestyle is different when I'm traveling.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I totally agree with that, right? I mean, yeah, like for instance, here in Malta, people tend to be quite family oriented. So, it's often difficult to sort of just like randomly strike up with the con strike up a conversation with some random people on the street, right? Like people tend to be less open to that sort of thing, right? Whereas in the US, it's I find it fairly easy to just meet strangers and talk to people, and people tend to be quite friendly and open to the idea of just talking to strangers. So I think that's a great thing. Yeah, maybe that's part of the individualism that we're talking about here as well. Yeah, but yeah, I think the other thing is, I mean, at least in American cities, there are a lot of cultural options. Whether that be museums, plays, or any kind of sort of cultural events going on, like concerts, sports games, all of that, right? So, I mean, out here in Malta, we don't have as much of that, right? There's no professional sports to speak of, right? So there are some museums, but kind of like historical stuff that tourists really want to go. But if you live here for a long time, not so much. So there's less of that cultural access as well, right? Yeah. But I guess it's kind of just what you're looking for there, I suppose. Yeah.
And I guess the location is kind of strategic for traveling to Europe or somewhere in
Yeah.
Africa as well.
Yeah. I mean, I was actually in Tunisia last weekend just to travel around for like 3 days. Yeah, because it's only like 50 minutes by flight from Malta, right? So I just went there experiencing a different culture, right? So that's definitely possible. And to Europe, there are a lot more flights, right? Quite cheap as well because there are so many low-cost airlines. Right. So if I'm looking for, say, more cultural options, then I could, I don't know, fly to Paris or London or Rome or somewhere like that. Yeah. So that's definitely an option as well. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that was one thing I was mentioning. Yeah. There was another point that I wanted to make, but I just lost my train of thought there. Yeah. I'll let you know what I think of it. Yeah.
All good.
I guess the other thing that I wanted to ask you about is, about digital nomading, right? Like you mentioned in the beginning that a lot of people are quite interested in the idea of doing digital nomading, but of course I also hear of a lot of people who are interested in digital nomading, but surprisingly, I actually don't find a lot of digital nomads. Yeah.
Really?
Like I met another digital nomad by chance in Malta, like a couple weeks ago. And we were talking about just trying to find the digital nomad community here, but yeah, there actually isn't all that much. Right? There are a lot of expats here, but they're mostly working here, so they're not like digital nomads, right? They actually have jobs in Malta. So yeah, so I guess part of it is down to the fact that people don't have fully remote jobs, or maybe, I don't know, people have some sort of impression or their conception about digital nomading that's not 100% positive. I don't know.
I
Maybe
think
you can enlighten me
it's
here.
not that popular. Like, I feel like digital nomads kind of tend to congregate in certain countries. And I feel like it's been a few years since I've done research on digital nomading, but like everyone was going to Thailand at one point. And I think Thailand got over, flooded with so many expats. And so people started transitioning to Philippines a little bit. And then that started getting a little bit full. Bali is another place where
Place.
it's a lot of expats and digital
Yeah.
nomads working there.
Yeah. I mean, over here in Europe, like people were talking, initially, people were talking about Portugal as the hot destination in Europe for
Really?
digital nomads. So, yeah, a lot of people are moving to Lisbon like a few years ago for digital nomading. And now, people are just saying Lisbon's like rent has gotten so much more expensive because of all the digital nomads coming in. So now there are all these articles coming out about all these small towns in Eastern Europe that you can live really cheap. So that could potentially be the next big destination. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah.
I was just talking to my sister yesterday about going to Lisbon. That's another spot that's been on my list too.
Just to travel or
I like well yeah, to travel. I haven't figured out where I would want to live outside the US. I think I would want to try living like a 1 to 3 months in different places to kind of figure out where I would want to live. But Portugal was mostly like I wanted to go to the coast. And also like I like architecture. So that's one of the things I like about European countries is just the old world architecture and all of that, which I don't really see in the US as much unless you're in like DC or something somewhere in the East Coast.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like one thing that really sort of bothers me about places that I don't like to live in is the fact that I stand out too much,
Oh,
in
really?
terms of in terms of how I look and in terms of like how I speak or how I behave, etc. Right.
In
So,
Malta or just in
well,
general?
I mean, I quite like Malta in that I don't stand out because there are so many foreigners here and I'm just another foreigner, right? Like I'm not the only foreigner, right? But for instance, I was telling you that I went to Tunisia last weekend, right? And there I just really stand out. Like,
I'm sure.
you just don't see people who look like this all the time there. And so, every time I'm just walking on the street, there's just gonna be some people like, trying to strike up a conversation with you. And sometimes it's just for because they're curious, right? But other times it's because they want money or something, right? Like, so either way, after a while, it really gets tiring. I'm just trying to live my life over here, right? Like just
Yeah,
do my
don't
own
want to
thing.
be a
I just kind of,
unicorn.
just want to be left alone for a little bit, right? So I mean, for 3 days in Tunisia, that's not really a problem, but I just can't imagine myself doing it for like 3 months, right? So like every day, I go to the supermarket, a bunch of people just striking up conversation with me. It gets really tiring.
What are some places you have in mind to go next or?
I mean, if I were continuing to do digital nomading, one thing, the one place I really want to sort of try next is somewhere in the Middle East. I was actually looking at Dubai or Abu Dhabi instead of Malta for my first digital nomading as well, because mostly they speak English over there as well, right? So language wouldn't be that big of an issue, but it's just that they have higher income requirements.
Yeah,
So
cost
that
of
made
living is pretty
it higher
crazy
too.
over there, right? Yeah.
Especially rent should be pretty expensive. So yeah, so that's why we didn't really do that. But if we had the chance, maybe the Middle East would be good, right? Especially since recent few years, Saudi Arabia in particular has been opening up quite a bit to foreigners, to foreign tourism, trying to change their cultural outlook from a conservative one to a less conservative one. So kind of want to see what's going on over there,
Yeah,
right?
that's a little. I've never heard anybody say they would want to live in Saudi. I
It's a
passed through there and I just felt like they're so restrictive. But
it
no
is
hate on the
yeah
Saudis,
yeah
but
yeah
especially for
yeah
women, it's a little
it's
difficult
true,
and
it's
restrictive.
true. Yeah, I think they're trying to change their image a little bit in the last couple of years, but of course, you know, it takes a while for them to actually get somewhere with that. So yeah, I do want to see how they're trying to do this and how far they can get with that,
Yeah,
right? So
I
I think
would
that would be
definitely
interesting for
visit for tourism first before you decide.
yeah. And I guess besides the Middle East, the other place I was thinking of is West Africa, especially Ghana. I think would be a fairly good place.
Yeah,
Speaks
that's a
English as well, right?
popular spot. Yeah.
Probably less chaotic than Nigeria, right? So
Yeah.
that could be another place that I would consider for the next leg of the journey. Yeah. So I mean, I've been to East Africa and the southern part of Africa as well, but West Africa not so much. So that
What's
could
your
be a
favorite country you visited in Africa or
mean,
continent?
I think well, Zambia was actually quite good. Yeah. Like,
Interesting.
yeah, I mean, it's quite under the radar, right?
Yeah,
A
you
lot
don't really
not
hear about it.
right, like of course the Victoria Falls is on the border, so there are people visiting that, right? But beyond that, people don't really go inland for any tourism related purposes, which is good in that people, when they see foreigners, they don't like expect you to be, you know, very rich tourists coming in for whatever reason. So people are quite relaxed about it, right? Which is great,
Okay.
right? Yeah, so that's quite different from, you know, parts of South Africa, for instance, right, where they get a lot of tourists, right, a
Yeah.
lot of people with money coming in, right. Same with Tanzania and Kenya, right, because a lot of people go there for safari, right.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it just feels easier to be a foreigner in Zambia than in those
Yeah.
countries. Yeah, yeah. The second advantage of me being an American citizen living outside the U.S. is that, like, having like an American background in the US is not all that special, right? But if you're outside of the US and you have like a US related background, it's more valuable. So you can, well, for the same kind of connection, you can command, you know, more sort of value, and you can command a higher salary, right?
Gotcha.
You know
And
what I
is that
mean?
in general, or you feel like certain countries have better benefits?
I mean, I feel like this is obviously it has to be some sort of job that's related to something international, right? Something related to the US, right? If it's like some purely domestic business that is unique to that particular country, then having a connection to the US means absolutely nothing. Most of the jobs I do, especially the current one, is very much connected to the US, right? So having a US background is definitely helpful, right? Especially since, you know, I went to university there, and yeah, that gives me a sort of network of people
Do you have
here
to pay
work.
taxes in the US when you're working abroad?
Yeah, I have to pay. Well, that's special to America, is that no matter where you work, you have to pay taxes to the US. But the good thing about taxation in the US is that if you're making foreign income and you get taxed in that particular foreign country that you work in, you can claim what's called like a foreign income exclusion credit, which cancels out a lot of the income. So if I don't make that much money, I don't actually have all that much taxable income. So
Gotcha.
I generally don't make enough money to be paying taxes in the US. Yeah.
And you probably don't pay, like, you probably just pay federal in that
Not
state,
stay,
like,
right? Yeah,
yeah.
because I'm not a resident in the US anymore, right? At this
Gotcha.
point. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And yeah, so and taxation, when I was in Japan, wasn't all that high, so that was okay. Yeah. So I'm still trying to figure out what's gonna happen with the Malta, because as digital nomads, we technically don't tax get taxed locally. For instance, because I don't make money in Malta, I don't get taxed income tax in Malta. So yeah,
Is
you
it
kind of have
part
to
of the
figure it out.
EU?
Yes, it is. We
Okay.
use the euro here as well. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So it's yeah, free travel to, no visa for like France or Germany or Italy or Spain. Yeah, so it's fairly easy. Yeah.
Well, no visa if you're from Malta, though, but you need to get a visa, right? Or is
Yeah,
it
I
from,
mean,
well, Americans don't really need visa.
and plus, I have the residency here now because I'm a digital nomad, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, so whenever I go to another country, I just show them my sort of residence permit, saying that look, I live in
Okay.
Malta, I'm not a tourist, right? Like, and they're like, okay,
Gotcha.
great, right? So yeah, so they don't even do the because as an American, you can travel visa free here, but only for 90 days, right? So and you have to get out, 90 days and come back, right? But as a
Gotcha.
resident here, I'm not subject to that rule.
Okay.
I just live here, right? So yeah. So that makes it quite easy to travel within Europe as well. Yeah.
Nice.
Think if you ever consider moving abroad, I think Malta is definitely a place you could consider, right?
Yeah, I
Like
think I might have to check it out. Do work
yeah. I
remotely.
mean, I feel it's just like the mental, the sort of the mental and the financial barrier is not as high, right? If you say go to somewhere in like Thailand or Portugal or Philippines, you have the language barrier going on, right? Of course, some people speak English, especially in the Philippines, but
Yeah.
still, right? That's not like the day-to-day language. But in Malta, English is the day-to-day language, so there really isn't a problem with that. And the other thing is, like I mentioned, the diversity bit, right? If you show up in Thailand, you're gonna stand out. But if you come to Malta, you're not gonna stand out, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
There are a lot
You
of people
feel.
that look like you. There are a lot of people who look like me over here. So
Yeah, I
yeah.
heard there's actually a neighborhood where there's a lot of African expats. I think it was
Yep.
called Marsa or something.
Yep. Yeah. Marsa definitely has a fairly big African sort of community because it's where the main shipyards of Malta is. So a lot of Africans work in the sort of the ship repair kind of industry. Yeah. So that's why a lot of people stay there. But that's not the only place where, Africans are. They're like all over. Like I go to anywhere in the island, I see people walking, Africans walking in the streets, in the buses, in the shops. So yeah.
Are the people nice there in general?
People are quite nice. I mean, as I mentioned, people are quite family oriented. So they're not gonna like, randomly strike up conversations with you. But if you just approach people, ask for help, they're definitely helpful. Yeah. So it's just like they have a quite sort of functional attitude to our conversations, right?
Yeah.
So it's just like, okay, you need something from me, I'll help you, right? But otherwise, just why are you talking to me, right? So yeah, so that's kind of a little bit different from the US. But yeah, I mean, as far as the non-Maltese go, they're much more, I guess, open, right? There
Yeah.
are people from all over the world, and they're quite curious about other people from all over the world who live in Malta. So I think the expat community is quite open. Yeah.
Well, it was great talking to you,
Oh.
Xiaoqian. Very informative podcast.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to leave the guests with before we close it out?
I don't know how many sort of potential digital nomads are listening in, but if you have a job that allow you to work fully remotely, I think going for at least a short sort of stint outside the country as a digital nomad is fairly doable. It's fairly realistic and surprisingly doesn't cost a lot of money. Oh, I forgot to mention the apartment I rented came all furnished, so I didn't really have to pay anything, right,
Oh,
besides
wow.
rent. Yeah, so it's
Is that
surprisingly cheap.
typical? Because I
It's
know
quite
some
typical.
country.
Yeah,
Okay.
here in Malta it's quite typical. For some other countries, not. For example, in Japan, it's definitely not typical. Everything come completely empty. So that
Is
makes
it one of those countries where foreigners can buy property?
in Malta,
Yeah.
yeah, there are certain restrictions, but it's definitely possible. Yeah,
Okay.
yeah, yeah. So, but digital nomads are only allowed to live here for a few years. So digital nomads don't really buy property. I
Yeah,
mean,
some people
yeah.
like, like Bali, a lot of expats and digital nomads are actually buying property. I guess
As
even if they're
investment.
not staying there, yeah, as an
Yeah.
investment, and it's kind of cheap to buy
Yeah.
a home there or build your own, so they kind of have
Yeah.
it as their vacation home or whatever.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are thinking the same thing for Malta as well. There's a lot of construction going on here for new residential buildings. So there certainly is a lot of demand, and that demand probably doesn't come from the local population, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure there are a lot of foreigners buying property here as well, even just for investment. Yeah. So yeah, like I was saying, digital nomading is not all that expensive. And if you come to a place like Malta where there's no language barrier and where there's a lot of diversity, you probably wouldn't feel too homesick either. So
Yeah.
it's definitely worth a try. Yeah. If your job allow you to go fully remote, might as well live outside the country for a while.
Might have to
That's
consider
it.
that. I actually work
Yeah, please
remotely
do.
and I still haven't had the opportunity to like work outside of the US or at least,
Yeah.
do the digital nomad thing.
Yeah.
And
Just be careful of the time difference, I suppose. Yeah.
yeah, there's that too.
Damn.
Sometimes that's a benefit though. You
Yeah.
just you
Yeah.
pick your place wisely, at least.
Exactly. A lot of my students live in Asia, and they're high school students. So I speak to them mostly after they finish their school at night, right? And that's my early afternoon time in Malta. So it's actually perfect.
Nice. Okay. Well, thank you for stopping by.
Oh,
And
thank you
for the
very much for
listen.
having me.
And for the listeners, I will have his information on the description. And for the podcast, you can find us on all podcast platforms as well as YouTube. And the description will be in the, I mean, sorry. The links will be in the description. Thank you for watching and
Thank you
listening.
very much.